Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Joe Humphreys is the writer of the Unthinkable Philosophy column and assistant news editor at the Irish Times. We've spoken to Joe about empathy, feeling powerless, using philosophy to handle life setbacks, handling cruel comments. But today, we're tackling the big one. The meaning of life, Joe.
You're very brave, Ray.
No, you offered it up. I thought this is brilliant. I finally have met somebody who has the answer. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life?
Yeah. An easy topic to cover, and it's one of those topics that has been kind of satirized. You know, it's hard to talk about it seriously in some quarters because you have the Monty Python who made a movie, The Meaning of Life, and some listeners might remember the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
42
exactly, the famous answer to The Meaning of Life that waited millions of years for. So it has that quality of a question people feel is just unanswerable, but I think there is good reasons for asking what is the meaning of life.
Before we get into what the philosophers say, I'm wondering, is it a valid question? Why should we ask it? Do a lot of people even ask the question of themselves?
Well, that is a fair point. And a lot of people don't necessarily. In fact, there was a study here in Ireland about that. Tom Inglis, the sociologist, UCD sociologist, he did a big study on people's views of the meaning of life in Ireland. But in the olden days, the meaning of life came from religion. God created the world, created human beings according to religious faith. And our purpose would have been in that faith to carry out God's wishes or to see through God's desires, if you like. I mean, in a more pluralistic society, people don't feel, and there's no widespread acceptance, this is one meaning of life anymore. And this idea of the capital T, the meaning of life, out there to be discovered, there's less acceptance or belief that that's the case, maybe outside of religious and some circles.
Okay.
And there's more an idea that there are meanings of life. And Inglis actually did an interesting study looking in Ireland. Not many people asked the question, which is one finding he discovered.
Not many people asked the question, what is the meaning of life?
The need for that kind of level of introversion or that level of self-analysis.
Yeah.
And they got on, but they expressed a view that they found many things in their life meaningful. Not a fall away of things like the church and religion and things like family relationships, not surprisingly coming out in the surveys. One very interesting thing he found was sport was hugely meaningful to people, and some of the respondents saying really they couldn't live without their football on a Friday or a Saturday without the sporting things to go to, that was really a meaningful aspect of their
lives. Observing or participating?
He found it was spectator sport was a huge part of what made people's life meaningful. Pets, things like that, all sorts of things. So I guess the question is it, as you say, is it a pseudo? Some scientists would say it's a pseudo question. And there are two ways of approaching the question. So one is the universal question of what's the point of the world? What's the point of the universe? What's the point of human life generally? And then there's the individual question. What's the meaning of any of our individual lives?
Okay.
Is there a point to our lives?
I'll go with the global thing first.
The global
then.
One, yeah. I guess this takes you into scientific, theological, philosophical arguments. And generally, science would give the view, the consensus, is that there's no point to life. There's a famous comment to the cosmologist Steven Weinberg, who said that the more the universe is comprehensible, the more it also seems pointless. That when you think of the way the universe evolved over time, over millions of years, over all sorts of chance events that chemical compounds developed, life developed, ultimately human life developed out of various evolutionary twists and turns. It seems highly unlikely that anyone would have designed it this way.
Okay.
It just seems kind of pointless. And ultimately, the universe is going to collapse at some point, meaning what's the point there?
So if it was by design, if we're here by design, then something, somebody has a meaning in mind, if you like.
Well, that's it, yeah.
But if we're here by some random act of, you know, science and atoms colliding, well, then there's no design, so there's no meaning.
There's no ultimate meaning, exactly.
Ultimate
in that
meaning,
sense.
Right.
So in a sense of the universe or life itself, there's a counter-argument, and I guess it's gained some traction in recent times, which is that there's an argument around the probability of the exact circumstances developing to allow for human life. So this idea that the world or the universe is fine-tuned for our existence. So to explain this, maybe imagine yourself walking along a beach and you see a pile of stones on the strand and they spell out the words, "I love Ray D'Arcy." pebbles.
I've seen it many times,
yes,
Joe.
Yes, I'm sure you have. Now, the question is it likely they just washed up on the shore like that, or were they deliberately assembled in that particular order? And it's, but most of us probably think instinctively, well, somebody put them in any place. Many of you are many admirers. And the argument is extended then to the universe, that there must have been a hand that fine-tuned the universe, or some sort of deliberate act that made it just perfect, hit the Goldilocks, yes, if you like, conditions to allow human life to flourish and to exist. And without, you know, with one tiny element or one tiny factor changed, we wouldn't be here at all. So that's the argument of probability, that you say, which is the more probable answer? It's not an absolute certainty, but that's one case that's put forward. Now, there's counter arguments and so on. And I guess one big thing about this whole debate is that it doesn't really get you closer to tell you what's the meaning of your own life.
Yes, and
in this great scheme of things.
As individuals, I suppose, it's more likely that people, and they may not ask it in that big philosophical way,
yeah,
but they might look in the mirror the odd morning and go, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, that's it. And kind of what's the meaning of life is another way of saying, you know, why am I here? You know, how should I live? And I guess this is why it's still a worthwhile question to ask, and one that we kind of have suppressed over time since maybe the decline of religion, that the spaces for asking this sort of question, it's a kind of an embarrassing question, really, or, you know, people will brush it aside. Where are the actual areas for asking it? So, and there would be a degree of concern among both philosophers and psychologists that we've sort of suppressed the question of meaning, and we've talked about happiness instead in its place, that we're kind of chasing happiness as a particular thing that's much more easier to talk about, you know, just getting pleasure.
But elusive.
Elusive often, yes, but you can talk about it. And science is more comfortable talking about happiness and, you know, the endorphins flowing through your body, etc. But there's no it's much more difficult to measure meaning.
Right.
And what the argument is that we really should be getting back to talk about meaning, and suppressing talking about meaning is potentially a cause of a lot of our anxieties, that, you know, we're living lives that become detached from what we deep down think are meaningful lives.
Right. So if we take the word meaning and ask the question, what gives our life meaning? So it's sort of slightly rephrasing of the question.
It is. And you're judging it by different criteria. So one of the things that I suppose that comes out of consensus, maybe out of both the philosophical and the psychological studies, are what's meaningful, what defines something as meaningful. Generally, there's three criteria that come out of it. One is the idea of doing something bigger than yourself. So
right.
It's not purely an individualistic thing about your pure happiness. Another is that it may have a moral component. So it's something that at least doesn't do people any harm. So it may do some good, maybe acts of kindness and so on. And the other is that there's some satisfaction that you get from it. So some people talk about being in the flow of an activity, that's what they find meaningful. You know, so it might be going from marathons, getting that sort of kick for that. But also something you find satisfying in a deeper level. So, you know, that it isn't in conflict with your values, with your deeper values. I think one of the causes of anxiety today is, and psychologists would reiterate this, and therapists, that you're out of kilter with your values, that you're not living according to your deeper values, that you're living maybe to someone else's agenda or someone else's values, and reflecting on what really matters in your life can help you know, correct your life maybe and to feel that.
So those three things are important. Something that has a moral sort of base to it, helping others, something bigger than yourself, and something that you can feel in the zone.
Will
give meaning to your life.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if there is no meaning to life, like that's another day's chat, but that's quite depressing, isn't
it? Well, the question, I suppose some people are afraid of the question for that reason, because does it take you to a dark place? I guess it's important to address them, though, and not, I think, bury them. So one of the big thinkers around this area would be Viktor Frankl, who's the Holocaust survivor, and he wrote a very famous book.
And his one quote is,
he'd say the meaning isn't there just to be discovered, but it evolves. But he quotes Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, where he says, you know, people who have a why to live can tolerate any how.
Right.
So if you have a reason to live, you can really endure a lot of hardship, a lot of suffering. And so figuring out what your meaning is, what your purpose is, builds resilience.
And there's that word which I hear more and more, purpose.
Yeah.
And people, particularly around retirement, they talk about, okay, you need to have a purpose.
What now?
Something to get up. Even it can be as straightforward as something to get up for in the morning, you know, a purpose. Yeah.
And there's a lot of positive work around that, like the whole idea of the third act and so
yes.
on. And this goes to something within therapy that people who do feel that life is pointless or, you know, will express that view. One of the approaches then is to deal with this through narrative therapy. So one way some of us feel about our lives is that there's no story to our lives. It's not like a movie script where, you know, it's following a trajectory. We're just doing random things every day. We're doing our to-do lists. We're just, nothing seems to add up to anything. But actually, what happens in narrative therapy is the idea that you actually take a bit more ownership over the story of your life.
Okay, well, you come back and talk to us about that another day, narrative therapy. I'm interested in that. Joe Humphreys, thanks for the moment. Thank you. Hopefully we enlightened you there on the meaning of life.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.